Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hey, it's Matea, reminding you that this show cannot be made without you. If you've been thinking about becoming a Canada Land supporter, we're having a pretty great sale right now. You'll get premium ad-free feeds of all Canada Land shows, discounts on merch from our store, and exclusive bonus episodes, like a behind-the-scenes tour of the federal budget lockup, more of Boris Johnson's trip to Canada, and of course, more of us yapping about what's hot in politics right now. We want to make it as easy as possible for you to become a Canada Land supporter. So from now until the end of May, we have a special offer for our listeners. Sign up now for just $2 a month for the next 6 months. Just go to canadaland.com/join or click the link in your show notes to become a supporter today.
This episode is brought to you by Highway of Tears by Jessica McDermott. This book is an in-depth, intimate story of the lives of missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls and their families. And it really involves their families. It's not just one reporter digging through old cases. There's a significant amount of reporting in here about how the police investigated these cases, and McDermott managed to get in-depth interviews with the investigating officers themselves, which is something that's so rarely done. Highway of Tears is available now wherever books are sold.
From Canada Land, this is Oppo. I'm Justin Ling in Montreal at the Liberal, let's call it a victory party, where everyone looks kind of like they lost even though they won. It looks like the Liberals will be forming the next government, but though it's going to definitely be a minority, the Liberal Party has pulled off a win that I don't think anybody saw coming, 150-some seats. It's been going up and down for a while now. We're getting close to midnight. It doesn't look like they're going to get close to majority territory, but this is a pretty comfortable minority. They're going to have to rely on support from either the NDP or the Bloc, or potentially some combination of some conservatives, the Greens, and independent, in order to govern. And there's really no telling exactly how that's going to work. They've absolutely taken the momentum out of the NDP. The NDP looks like they're going to manage it to a measly 24, 25 seats. The Greens didn't do well as expected. The Bloc didn't do as well as expected. The Conservatives did just all right, but basically it looks like you can start calling him Teflon Trudeau, because nothing sticks to this guy. Not a blackface scandal, not SNC-Lavalin, not virtually anything. Justin Trudeau has done an amazingly good job at keeping his support together from Atlantic Canada to Quebec, where he did shockingly well in the face of a Bloc Québécois surge. He kept all of his seats in downtown Toronto, which is absolutely mystifying. He did surprisingly well in the GTA, much better than anybody expected. He did well in British Columbia. Really, across the country, it just looked like people stuck with him at the last possible moment. There were a couple of big surprises. Both the deputy leaders of the Liberal and Conservative Party lost their seats, Lisa Raitt in Milton and Ralph Goodale in Regina, Wascana. Both lost by pretty significant margins against star candidates. As of right now, it looks like Jody Wilson-Raybould is going to keep her seat. Jane Philpott doesn't look like she's going to keep hers. Basically, these results are an absolute dog's breakfast. Anybody telling you that there's a clear message coming from these is completely talking out of their ass. This is just a mess across the board. The only real thing you can draw from this is that the Liberals are very, very fucking resilient.
The Liberals did better than anybody expected them to do, and when Justin Trudeau took that stage, you could tell, even though the audience wasn't quite as enthused as I think you may have seen them in 2015, he was absolutely lit up. He looked absolutely stoked to be up there.
Division and negativity. They rejected cuts and austerity, and they voted in favor of a progressive agenda and strong action on climate change.
Andrew Scheer, when he took the stage in Regina, you know, threatened to put the Liberal government on notice, but it's sort of unclear how he intends to do that, given that, you know, with the other parties, the Liberals are going to be able to govern.
And Mr. Trudeau, when your government falls, Conservatives will be ready and we will win.
He did not get close enough to even make a shot at forming government. And, you know, there's obviously going to be a lot of long knives out for Andrew Scheer in the coming days. He sidelined Doug Ford, and he ended up winning virtually no seats in the GTA, despite a big promise to do so. Scheer definitely tried to spin the results as he got on stage tonight, but it's really hard to take that seriously. And if he manages to stay on as leader for the next 6 months, I think everyone's going to be surprised.
We're going to make sure that the energy that we built over this campaign, the excitement that we built, and the focus that we put on people's struggles, continues, and so that we can play a constructive and positive role in the new parliament the Canadians have chosen.
When Jagmeet took the stage in Burnaby South, he immediately said that he was going to meet with his caucus to figure out what next steps are, which kind of indicates that he's going to be sticking around for a while. What exactly he's going to be looking for from the federal government is unclear. He's been kind of coy about whether or not he'd try to form a coalition government or not, so it's really up in the air as to whether or not he's going to seek an actual agreement from the Liberal Party and whether or not the Liberal Party actually wants to sign anything.
There's really no telling who exactly is going to prop up the Liberal government. Neither the Bloc nor the NDP did quite as well as expected. The Conservatives were strong-ish, and the Greens didn't do quite as well as everyone hoped.
Okay, we need to take just a quick break, but we will be right back.
This episode is brought to you by the new book Highway of Tears by Jessica McDermott. For decades, Indigenous women and girls have gone missing or been found murdered along an isolated stretch of highway in northwestern British Columbia. The highway is what's known as the Highway of Tears, and it's come to symbolize a national crisis. Journalist Jessica McDermott meticulously investigates the devastating effects these tragedies have had on the families of the victims and their communities, and how systemic racism and indifference has created a climate where Indigenous women and girls are overpoliced yet underprotected. Through interviews with those closest to the victims, their mothers and fathers, their siblings, and their friends, McDermott provides an intimate firsthand account of their loss and their unflagging fight for justice. Examining the historically fraught social and cultural tensions between settlers and Indigenous peoples in the region, McDermott links these cases to others across Canada, now estimated to be up to 4,000, contextualizing them within a broader examination of the undervaluing of Indigenous lives in the country. Highway of Tears by Jessica McDermott is available now. The book involves the families. It's not just a reporter digging through crime cases, but an in-depth, intimate story about the lives of the missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls and their families. There's quite a bit of reporting about how the police investigated these cases, and in-depth interviews with the investigating officers themselves, which is something that is so rarely covered. Highway of Tears is available now wherever books are sold.
So as the results kept rolling in, Cabinet Ministers Melanie Joly and Pablo Rodriguez stopped to chat with reporters and play up the results they got.
Well, I think it's a victory, and we ought to celebrate.
How tough is it going to be going forward, though, in a minority position?
Well, we'll be learning to govern along with the opposition, and at the same time, we'll be focusing on the priorities of Canadians.
Pretty brutal campaign as well. You guys came in on sunny ways, and this was not a sunny campaign.
It was a demanding campaign, and unfortunately, many some of the politicians that were running were trying to run to build political capital based on fear and division, and that doesn't work. And that's what Canadians told them tonight.
But isn't that kind of what you did? I mean, you ran a campaign saying that if the other guy gets elected, everything's going to go backwards. I mean, your slogan was literally forward. To some degree, didn't you both run a similar campaign?
Absolutely not. We have a lot of respect towards people. And when we're in politics, we respect people, but we can, you know, contest or attack their ideas. We never go ahead and attack persons, because this is not what democracy is about. And in this country, well, there are so many different realities. It is our moral obligation to keep social cohesion and keep people trusting our democracy.
But speaking of cohesion, if you had to pick between working with the NDP and working with the Bloc, which would you pick?
Tonight we're celebrating, tomorrow we're rolling up our sleeves and working for Canadians.
Thank you very much.
Do you expect cooperation from the NDP?
I expect cooperation from everybody. I mean, we're not going to get the support from everybody on everything, but again, this is my fourth minority parliament, and I've seen it work before. When there's goodwill, we can find ways to negotiate, sit down, and move forward things that we have in common.
You said you worked in minority parliaments before, but it hasn't always...
Fourth one out of five.
Yeah, and they haven't always been great. I mean, I don't mean to disparage... I mean, you know... It's a lot of brinksmanship. It's a lot of vote for my budget or go back to the polls. It's, you know, without some sort of confidence and supply agreement or without some sort of coalition, do you think it can work, or is there going to be a lot of brinksmanship?
No, at the end of the day, you're looking for common ground. I mean, the other parties, they want us to move forward with stuff for the population. I mean, we're our MPs. We're all elected for our people. We're elected to make a difference for future generations. So I think we can all be reasonable and find common grounds on a lot of things.
Do you think that should look like a formal deal, or is it going to be ad hoc?
No. I think we can move forward with our agenda and try to get the support of one party or the other on specific ideas.
Does that mean giving the Bloc whatever? I mean, the Bloc has already said they want internet, high-speed internet for rural Quebec. Is that on the table?
That was in our program.
Well, then there you go. You already won their votes.
There you go. You have won.
So will you bend on other things to make Quebec happy?
It's not about bending. It's never about bending.
Of course it is.
No, it's not about bending. It's about getting agreements on specific stuff. And you've seen, you were there. I met you when we were in a minority government. I was in a minority government in 2004, 2006, 2008, and now 2019. So I've seen it work. It can work, but it takes a lot of goodwill. When that goodwill is there, we do it for Canadians and we move forward.
I managed to speak with Liberal MP Mark Miller, who just won a comfortable re-election in his downtown Montreal riding, who seemed to think that, yeah, there is some punishment happening here in these results, but they're going to be able to work with other parties to govern. Mark Miller, you were just re-elected member of parliament. How stoked are you right now?
Oh, look, I'm psyched. You're in my riding, Justin, so I'm glad to have you here.
And you can deport me from it at any moment, I've heard.
Unfortunately, I don't have that power. If I would, I might use it. But look, I'm glad to be reelected. I spent my day. This is the easiest day in my last 4 years. I've spent the last 2 months working this riding really hard, pushing a very progressive platform, and Canadians have responded. You see the numbers coming up. Overwhelmingly, there's a vote for progressive politics, and that makes me happy.
Okay, so it looks like you're not going to get to majority. Ralph Goodale is announcing that he's lost his seat behind us. It's a real mixed bag of results here. People don't seem to know what they want. I mean, what do you take away from these results?
Well, look, there's a few themes coming out of this. Ralph, first of all, has been an amazing colleague. I mean, he's the last true finance minister to balance the budget. He has done an incredible service to Canadians, and we need to be extremely, extremely, extremely grateful for the work he's done for all Canadians of all political stripes. And politics is unforgiving. And Ralph has served Canada faithfully through so many prime ministers, and it makes me, frankly, it makes me sad. It makes me sad for the human being. But he got into this, and he knew exactly what he was getting into, and he knew it every single election. So tonight, you see themes coming out. You do see people rejecting the divisiveness that we saw and some of the nasty politics that we saw in the campaign. And we do see other voices within Parliament, and there's definitely some work to be done in how we run things. And I will wait for the results to come in, and we'll all take a look at them. We do not have the monopoly on political thought in this country as the Liberal Party. We are expression of the people that vote for us. So too with conservatives. You know, there's a room in this country for a conservative voice. I don't believe it's embodied in the current Conservative Party, but there's certainly a voice for that, and we need to take stock of that as well. There's obviously a heavy push from the ground that didn't exist 4 years ago, conscious about the environment, that this really is the last generation that can do something about it. That's why we've had such an ambitious platforms.
Generally speaking, I mean, look at the polls. People don't
love Justin Trudeau. His number, his personal approval ratings have absolutely tanked. Did you do better this election because of him or worse? And at a certain point, do you have to start reckoning with the fact that people seem kind of frustrated with him as in the top job, even if they voted for a Liberal government tonight?
We certainly are the party of Justin Trudeau, absolutely no question about that. What he's done to reform this party and rebuild the party from a party that didn't want him takes incredible mettle, takes incredible hard work. The journalists that followed him the last 3 days were utterly exhausting, so no one should question his love for the country. He's not a perfect individual, never has been. Perhaps our honeymoon was too long. We had probably the longest honeymoon in Canadian history, fueled by a number of factors, and maybe that was undeserved. So, you know, people will look at the Prime Minister with scrutiny, and so they should. They're sophisticated consumers of politics. I'm confident in our Prime Minister's ability to rebound, but certainly he isn't unanimous across the country. People need to take a close look at who he is and what he represents for this country, and not just, you know, some of the flashy stuff you see. I mean, he recognizes the fact that he has made mistakes, and those mistakes have been quite obvious, but he's also apologized for that. And that's the characteristic of human beings that decide to move on and reconcile with their actions. So I'm very proud of him as a friend, but also as his colleague in Parliament.
Yeah, because you've known him for many, many years. You went to school together, right? Yeah.
35 years.
Yeah, okay. 35, you've known him for 35 years. So you've known him for a good long while. Do you think, evidently, he's going to have to work with some other parties in Parliament? Do you think he's capable of actually working with the NDP, the Bloc, the Greens, the Conservatives in order to actually keep governing? Or are we going to be heading back to an election within 6 months to a year, 2 years, what?
On any given day, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is a very competitive man. It's gotten him to where he is in face of a number of elements of adversity. He's a man that is born of privilege, but he has also been fighting against the specter and ghost of his own father that has been so well documented. But he is a guy that is able to, in this era of social media and constant pecking that you see on Twitter, for example, he is someone that is incredibly resilient and able to ignore that and get through that. He is able to work with someone. He is very cooperative. He's operated under an open tent policy. Doesn't mean mistakes happen. To predict right now would be unfair to the ballots that are still being counted, but I think he's absolutely able to work across party lines, regardless of the parties, but more the policies.
So, I mean, again, looking at the results behind us, it looks tentatively like either the Bloc or the NDP would be enough to get you into majority territory to help you govern. You're a Quebec MP. Are you more comfortable working with the Bloc or working with the NDP?
I'm comfortable working with anyone that shares my policies. So we have a lot of people within my party that have different views. I've reconciled them at times. I'm not going to speculate because those numbers are coming in.
No, come on, speculate a little bit. Come on.
There's a lot of progressive parties there. There's a lot of progressive parties, and like I said, particularly on the environment, where there has to be a line item basis, it'll be a line item basis. But Canadians don't want to go back into an election should things not go the way that I want them to go.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Justin. I appreciate it.
Congrats.
Hey, how are you?
So after hearing from both Justin Trudeau and Andrew Scheer, you know, there's no clear sign of what happens tomorrow. Andrew Scheer is not resigning. Jagmeet Singh is sticking around. It looks like we're going into a parliament that's going to keep relitigating this election into the foreseeable future. The Liberals that I spoke to here tonight don't seem to be super keen on the idea of forming any kind of formal agreement or a confidence and supply agreement or a coalition with any of the other parties. I mean, that might change in the coming days, but as of right now, it looks like we're going into another minority parliament where everything's going to be decided on an ad hoc vote-by-vote basis. So that's definitely something to look forward to.
And that's it for Oppo this week. You can let us know what you think by emailing us at oppo@canadalandshow.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at OppoCast. This episode was produced by Laura Howells. Our managing editor is Kevin Sexton, and the theme music is by Nathan Burley. I have the last word this week, and that word is over.
Hey, it's Matea, reminding you that this show cannot be made without you. If you've been thinking about becoming a Canada Land supporter, we're having a pretty great sale right now. You'll get premium ad-free feeds of all Canada Land shows, discounts on merch from our store, and exclusive bonus episodes, like a behind-the-scenes tour of the federal budget lockup, more of Boris Johnson's trip to Canada, and of course, more of us yapping about what's hot in politics right now. We want to make it as easy as possible for you to become a Canada Land supporter. So from now until the end of May, we have a special offer for our listeners. Sign up now for just $2 a month for the next 6 months. Just go to canadaland.com/join or click the link in your show notes to become a supporter today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com